But this morning, we're going to look at Philemon. And I can't say anything in details about my life or my family or my whatever, but I speak this morning knowing what I'm talking about as far as the particular subject. And how do they say that? I know of what I speak. I think that's how they say it. I know of what I speak or something like that. And so I want to get this on tape and I want to see if I can't talk about it with somebody eventually. But I've got, there's two ways of doing this thing this morning. One is just to go through Philemon, which is not that much, you know, 25 verses. And it doesn't seem like much goes on in there, but a lot does. Or I can bunny trail this thing about halfway through this thing and get off into a very applicable piece of information. Let's see where we go with this thing here. First of all, you'll notice that the title of this thing, if you notice the titles, says "People Don't Need the Lord." And you know, there's a song that's been around for a long time. I think Steve Green came up with it, "People Need the Lord." And I've hated that song from day one. People need the Lord. And they just keep singing this thing over and over and over. And it drives me nuts. I'm not always sure why it drives me nuts, but I know it does. So as I was reading Philemon these last few days, thinking, you know what, let's look to where Paul has some stuff to say just before he's done. Because he says here, I'm just kind of jumping the gun with this stuff here. See if I can find it on here. Paul says in, I got to find that verse here. See, I'm going to be singing that tune now. In verse 9, he says, he calls himself Paul the Aged. So this book, Philemon, which we know is towards the end of his career, his high-paying, luxurious career, is he's older now, Paul the Aged. And I noticed that, and I thought, you know what, let's hear from Paul the Aged. Because most of the people on this website are aged. Except, you know, our Marine and his wife, Noelia, which is his first Noelia that he's ever had. And Sam, you're not aged yet. You're agedly, but you're not aged. So let's get this thing going here a little bit. So when I say to somebody, you know, people don't need the Lord, they need Paul. And right away they're going to start going, oh, you are a Paul worshiper? You are crazy? You're nuts? You know? Well, we will see here this morning why people need Paul. Of course they need the Lord. But if we just go with the simple statement of they need the Lord, they jump right in with Jesus of the Gospels, because that's where the Lord is. And this other stuff with Paul, I don't know what that is, but there's probably some good stuff in there, but I'm not sure what that's all about. Well, they need to know what that's all about. They need to know Paul. If they know Paul, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If they get to know Paul, you see, I don't think it takes a spiritual awakening to know Paul. Paul is, as a matter of fact, down-to-earth man as man should be. Paul does not have religion anymore. Paul is simple language, simple plainness of speech, he says. The simplicity of Christ is all just plain and simple. You don't need to have a spiritual eye-opening to get a hold of this stuff, but you still need to get to Paul first. Saved, not saved, thinking you're saved, but not saved, saved, but rejected, you know, walked away, whatever. We need Paul. And the reason I say that is you'll see this in Philemon. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 still, where Paul says, according to the grace of God. By the way, I still haven't got my other glasses. These are some old ones, and I still can't see worth a whippy-do. So if I stumble on some words, just chalk it up to bad eyes, because I'm back to my old bad eyes. At least I don't have to hold the Bible up to my face, which I would have had to do if I didn't have these. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So we see here that Paul is the one that lays the foundation. Paul lays the foundation of the risen Savior. We know that. We're aware of that. Nobody knows that. Nobody seems to know that out there. They all believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, but they totally reject his teachings after he rose. And that's just amazes me that we've been there too, you know. It isn't them. We've all been there. How we could miss that. So this is why I say people need Paul, because Paul's writings, Paul's books, will lay the proper foundation. If you go to Peter, if you go to John, if you go to James and all these other guys, you will lay the wrong foundation. You will be laying the foundation of the Jesus who came down to be the Messiah. All those teachings are to the Jews. That is the wrong foundation. But it's still Jesus. Yeah, right. It's still the wrong foundation. Paul is the one that we need to have this foundation laid by. Somewhere there. So that's the explanation of my title. Now, if anybody out in the web world, the Pal Talk world, gets a hold of that title, people don't need the Lord, they need Paul, boy, will they go nutsos with that thing. They'll have no clue what you're talking about. So if you were to say to somebody, you know, honey, or sweetheart, or friend, or whatever, you need Paul. What are you talking about? Everybody told me I need Jesus. Well, you do, but you need to have the one that Paul teaches about. Paul will lay the foundation, and he'll show you how you build upon that. You know, you're thinking about this, if a person goes to the Jesus, and the Jewish Jesus, the gospel, the earthly Jesus, before he even fulfilled the law, I forgot what I was going to say. Go to Jesus. Never mind. I got to quit looking up at the screen. I'm going to put that down. There we go. Oh, I know what it was. So if they go to this Jesus in the Gospels, they've got nothing to build. It's just, there you are. Do what Jesus does. Imitate Jesus if you're a modern Christian. Follow Jesus if you know it, some kind of a truth bit, you know. There's nothing to build upon. Paul says our wise master builder. So, this takes me to Philemon. And you will see as we get into this thing where I'm going with this thing. Again, I speak knowing what I'm talking about as an applicating, applying type of a Christian father or husband or man or whatever. Because we know people out there who need Paul. And they need the Lord that Paul will lay for them. We know that. Now, whether they are saved, or like I said, saved, or think they're saved, or they are saved, and they're King James or not King James, I mean, whatever the deal is, we all need the risen Savior. And the only place you get the risen Savior from is from Paul. Okay, so let's go to Philemon, and let's do some reading here. If you know the story, Onesimus had some troubles, and he had to take a hike, and now Paul's coming back with this guy and talking to Philemon, that Philemon, take this guy in. He's of me now. He's of me. He's my son now, and I've taught my son what I need to teach him. And now I'll pay whatever comes up with this guy's life with you. That's what we're looking at here. Now, if you got open ears and heard that thing, you already probably heard what we're talking about here. See, Onesimus needed Paul. Onesimus got Paul's teachings, and Onesimus got fixed. It's that simple. Okay. Verse 1. I got all sorts of other comments in this thing, and we'll just go and wing it as we go here. This might even be longer than normal. I don't know. Who knows? Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a couple things, interesting things. First of all, this is unto Philemon. And it's also to Apphia, or Apphia, Archippus, and to the church in thy house. Whose church? Well, I'm going to assume Philemon's. I suppose it could be Archippus and Apphia, but I don't think so. I think he's talking to unto Philemon. I think the difference there is the word unto compared to these other two guys and to that church in the house. Okay. Notice how Paul says Philemon is dearly beloved and a fellow laborer. He goes to beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier. If we get a hold of this Paul stuff, if we all become like Onesimuses here, if we all get a hold of this stuff, we can't forget that we are fellow laborers, fellow soldiers. Fellow laborer is it's work. Fellow soldier is a war. And to the church in thy house might just be you. Maybe two people. Maybe your family can jump into this thing. It's kind of funny how we expect our family to get this stuff because we got it. And I think it's the jailer that when he gets it from the beginning here, he goes back in his whole house, gets saved as such. Well, if you're not careful and read that thing wrong or exegesis that thing, You can say, well, here, the husband got the Paul thing right, so now the husband can just start bossing around in Paulish ways. No, it doesn't work that way. Our family can be just as stubborn and just as blind and just as deceived as anybody else. Just because we get a hold of this thing, you would think, well, I can just pass it on to them. No, it doesn't work that way. I think that's one of our personal frustrations. Okay, verse 4. I thank my God, make a mention of thee always in my prayers. So I would ask us, do we pray for each other? That's a good comment. That's a good response to that thing. Now let's click some more here. Hearing of thy love and faith. See, Paul is praying for these people, make a mention of thee always in my prayers, comma, because he heard of their love and faith, which they have, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. So there's Paul is impressed with these guys. He's praying for these people. Why? Well, because he heard of their love and faith they have towards all the other brethren. But it's still not done. Here's why Paul prays for them. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now let's go back and look at that again. So I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, that the communication of thy faith. So he's not praying for their love and faith towards other people. He's praying for that the communication of their faith will become effectual. He knows they have love and faith towards the brethren and towards Jesus, the Lord Jesus, as he says. But he's praying that it becomes effectual. But here's how it becomes effectual. By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Okay, now hang in. This is a sermon in itself, I suppose, right here. That the communication of thy faith. You have a faith. You have his faith, and you have a faith. There's two faiths. We have our faith. Our faith comes and goes, gets stronger, gets weaker, comes and goes, wanes and wishy-washies. And then we have the faith of Jesus Christ. Of course, Paul talks about that. But he's talking about here thy faith, that the communication of thy faith, the faith that we have, ours and Christ, may become effectual toward all saints. How? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you. Not by you. Not by you. Not by you. So we're not talking here about things that we have done, the good things which we do. We're talking about the acknowledging of every good thing which is in us. But what do we have in us? That is one of the biggest differences between Paul's teachings and the gospel teachings. The teachings of the gospels, the Great Commission, the average religious person in the denominational mainline churches, and the Bible believing guys too, that go into the Great Commission, they think that all the good things that they do is what's going to win these other people, as they say, win. And this is even hard for me to explain, other than I know you know what I'm talking about because you have studied Paul's writings. You know where Paul's coming from. Paul gives us a manner of life that pleases God, but that manner of life is not going to win people over. It's the acknowledging of every good thing which is in us. Well, what's in us? Well, the faith of Christ is in us. An understanding is in us. And you go down, you just think about it. What's in us since we got saved, since we truly trusted in the Savior, by looking to Paul? It's those are the things that are in us that we pray would help our faith become effectual as it is communicated to other people. You know, because if you look at that verse grammatically, it's just really an odd verse. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing, so far so good, which is in you in Christ Jesus. Boy, you would think that he could have put a couple more words in there to help that thing make sense. Well, just look at it closely. Acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. We're in Christ Jesus. So it's not the word by that should be there. It's the word in you. And I want to check some other books to see what they put in there, by the way. I bet you anything they put in there by, but we'll see. Then he goes on to verse 7. For we have great joy. That's a follow-up. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So you go back to verse 5. By verse 4, he's praying for these people. We should be praying for each other because we should have that love and faith toward the saints, which we know are just Paul people, and even that's questionable. We're such a mixed up mess today, knowing that Romans 11:22 is about to kick into gear. He's about to cut off the Gentiles because nobody wants to hear about the goodness of God. They're being taught the judgment of God. That's a bunny trail comment right there. So if we can manage to have this kind of love and faith toward each other, again, another brain trail, being wise to which ones are actually the saints, which ones are actually Christians, that the communication of our faith becomes effectual because we will acknowledge of every good thing which is in us in Christ Jesus, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love. Because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. My question is are we refreshed because of our love towards the brethren here this morning? And I'm going to put this right down onto me as the pastor or the preacher or the teacher, whatever you want to call me, or just the website guy, whatever. Are your bowels, as he says here, refreshed? Is it refreshing to hear this stuff? Is it refreshing to be encouraged to go on? Is it refreshing? Is it being communicated properly? It's not because of what I do. It's because I want what I have in me, the good thing that I have in me. I want to put that forward to other people. And he's leading this up to the fact that this Onesimus guy was a bad guy at times. And Paul got him fixed. Paul took care of this guy and taught him what he needed to be taught. And now this guy's got it together, based on Paul. That's where we're going with this thing. So this Philemon really got the encouragement, he got the refreshment, he was good to other people, he acknowledged the good thing which was in him, and is a great joy and consolation because of that love that he has for others, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed. Philemon was a refresher. He was a refreshinger. Okay, does that... I won't ask any question because I don't have my screen up anyway. I'm not even sure you're all there, or if the sound is even working. Okay, verse 8. Now, we're leading up to why I say people need Paul, not the Lord as much. Wherefore, okay, so wherefore, after you said all that, wherefore, though I... These are prepositions, but I like how these prepositions tie things in. Verse 7 has four, you know. For we have... Now it's wherefore... Though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. Enjoin, definition, to direct or impose upon somebody with authority, to emphasize with urgency. Okay? So Paul is saying, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. In other words, Paul says, listen, Philemon, as much as I like to be bold and preach to you a hard message and help you, you know, something that's convenient to you and it just kind of helps you out, I'd like to preach to you this morning. You know what? Actually, it's kind of like what I'm thinking this morning. I'd like to do this message on the 1769 and the lame excuses people have for King James Bible only. But this is much more important. So wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ, Jesus Christ. Hear the word beseech. Implore, to ask with urgency, to supplicate, to I just want you to hear this. We would probably say, I beg thee, but begging has got some other connotation to it. Beseech is the word that we use. To implore, to ask with urgency. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Here we go. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. That's what this is all about here this morning, is Onesimus. Whom I have begotten in my bonds. Now see, there's the key of Philemon right there. Paul has taken this guy, and my pen is out, has taken this guy and taught him what he needs to be taught. He begot him. He laid the right foundation. He taught him about the manner of life, which includes all these things in Timothy and Titus and all that, and taught him all about the risen Savior, and he's got all the stuff that he's got. Oops, I see somebody's there. Remove the bounce, okay? And this is why I say people need Paul. Here's this Onesimus. Look at verse 11. Which in time past was to thee unprofitable. So this Onesimus guy, it wasn't doing any good for Philemon. And to Paul. But now profitable to thee and to me. So this Onesimus guy, he got a hold of what Paul taught. He learned Paul. So this is why that song, people need the Lord. No, they don't. They need Paul. And if people need the Lord, they will go to the Gospels. They will go to Jesus in the book, which is the Gospels. They need Paul because Paul will lay the foundation of the Lord. Well, of course they need the Lord, but they will get it through Paul. So here's Onesimus who got the Lord, as such, through Paul. So what do we need? We need Paul. And Paul will guide us to the Lord. So these people that we know out in this world, our family, our friends, our workers either their life is a disaster, or their life is full of deception, and they think everything's hunky-dory. Or, like I say, people that have a disaster going on in their lives. Do you know what they need? Do you know who they need? Do they need the Lord? No, they need Paul. It's that simple. They need Paul. Paul can straighten out their deceivedness. Paul can fix their disaster. How can he do that? He will lead them to the correct Lord. He will lead them to the right Lord with the right gospel. And See, the people that lead people to the people, the pastors and stuff that lead people to the Jesus of the Gospels tell these people, well, God will miraculously fix your life. But if you go to Paul, Paul or Jesus himself won't miraculously fix your life, but he'll show you how you can do it. He will show you what's right. He will show you what you need to do to get this stuff cleaned up. And we can hear this ourselves as well. Because this country is leading us all to a disaster financially, friendly-wise, and workplace-wise. You know, it's a mess out there. So, are we expecting these miracles with the Jesus that the pastor's talking about? If you just come up and you give, God will give an abundant return. All this kind of baloney. They don't need that. People don't need the Lord. People need Paul. 1 Corinthians 3, then he will lay the right foundation of the right Lord, and then they will learn to follow Paul as Paul follows Christ, the risen Savior, and it'll take a while, and it'll be very hard, and you'll lose your friends, and you'll be persecuted, but you can get your life together, not just in this country, because that country's not letting you get your life together, but you'll have it together for the judgment seat of Christ, which is our goal. Unless your goal is just to have everything right now and have fun and have a good time with people and have your family love you and your friends love you and you be there to just follow along with their deception or follow along with them, their disaster. Go along with them. Live the disaster with them. Live the deception with them. But if you go to Paul, Paul will fix that. He'll straighten that out. Because you got to read and you got to respond. Okay, enough of that. Verse 10. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels. See, we need to be as close with this Paul stuff as within our own bowels. Kind of crude, but that's what the Bible said. That's the word, you know. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is mine. You receive Onesimus, you're receiving Paul, which you are in turn receiving the risen Savior. Don't anybody think out there that I'm putting Paul over Christ. Of course not. I'm just showing that Paul would help you get the right Christ as compared to the wrong, as compared to the earthly Jesus. Okay. Who comes with miracles, signs, and wonders. And Paul's Savior comes with persecution. Who wants to go that way? Wouldn't you rather just have somebody get you out of the mess you're in? That's a classic American philosophy now. Yeah, let the government get me out of my mess. Are you kidding? We just get deeper and deeper. Paul tells us how to live. He tells us where to go. He tells us what to do. Is it to get the Savior? No, it's because we have the Savior that we can now do these things to please God and be blessed. No, we'll actually be persecuted. The blessings come later. And will God stop us? No. Okay, anyway, got to get into this stuff here. Okay, verse 13, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Man, this guy Onesimus was so good with what he was doing, he could have taken Philemon's place in Paul's life. But without thy mind would I do nothing. Paul still wanted Philemon, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. Okay, when do I go into my part two here? Let's see. Well, let's keep reading here. I'll show you something I think we say to people that we shouldn't say. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever. Now, when he departed for a season, where did this Onesimus guy go? That's my question here this morning. Not now as a servant, but above a servant. This Onesimus guy, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. This guy is Onesimus. Now, this guy has got it together in the flesh, meaning he still has the spiritual circumcision, of course, but he's still in his body. I mean, he's still alive. He's still walking around. Yes, in the flesh. And in the Lord, spiritually and physically, this Onesimus guy is above just a servant. He's a brother beloved. And why especially to Paul? Because this Onesimus guy got a hold of the Paul stuff. Got a hold of Paul. If thou count me therefore as a partner, if thou count me therefore a partner, see, this is how we're supposed to be with each other. We got Patience there, Chris there, Sam there, Stephen and his first wife Noelia, and Andrea and Daniel and Jeanette and these other people that listen to this stuff during the week out there on the website as I wave to them out there. We are partners. We are fellow laborers. We are fellow soldiers. If we follow Paul. And that includes Timothy and Titus. And that means we're going to get persecuted. That means it's going to be tough. We're going to be mocked. You're going to look stupid if you're dressed modestly. You're going to change the way you behave. All these things in Titus. Remember, we're hearing this from aged Paul. Paul's been around. So now Paul knows of what he speaks. Well, so do some of us. We've had challenges. All of us. We've had challenges. Stephen, in the Marine Corps, probably the worst place for young people to be for any kind of godliness. Sam, you've had your issues. And you're a submarine chief. You had to deal with stuff there. Chris, your family stuff. Andrea, Daniel, Jeanette, me. We understand what Paul's talking about here. We just have to realize that people, these people that we know, they don't need the Lord. They need Paul. And Paul would get them to the right Lord. Okay, hang on. So we're partners. We are a Paul partner. Receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Nice guy. Wish I could send him my bills. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Now, I love this right here. This is just so good. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Now, here he's telling this Philemon guy, you take care of this guy, da, 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 I'll pay for it, the whole thing, I'll cover his cost, the whole thing. You know, but don't forget that you owe me yourself. Don't forget how much you owe, thou owest unto me even thine own self. Philemon wouldn't probably even be alive or whatever if it wasn't for Paul. So you can at least do this. It's such a surprising statement from Paul, isn't it? Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. But he just said it. He just reminded him, listen, you owe me one, brother. What have you done for somebody that now you're still ready to be there for him? And you just want to say to them, listen, I'll do this for you, but you know what? I want you to do this for me, by the way. But don't forget what I've all done for you. Kind of a thing. And that is so, you owe me one, Philemon. Take care of this guy. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord and refresh my bowels in the Lord. In other words, you're going to take this Onesimus guy in, Philemon, and it's going to refresh my bowels. And what this guy does, you know, having confidence in the obedience I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. So Paul knows this Philemon guy, and this is so good. Philemon is such a good guy that he will not just obey what Paul says, he'll even go beyond that. Knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Isn't that nice? Isn't that just a good thing? Not only will you folks help me, not only will you folks help somebody else, not only will we do something for somebody else, we'll go above and beyond what we should as a Christian. I like that. And then he goes on and says, but withal, prepare me also a lodging. Now, withal means at the same time, and the interesting definition of this, it says, within the rest, at the same time, parentheses, they say it is not an elegant word. So there's another attack on, I think it fits totally perfectly. While he's talking about Onesimus, he says, oh, and, you know, at the same time, could you prepare me also a lodging? The word withal. That's all. That's just a very simple word. But withal, prepare me also a lodging. For I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. In other words, Onesimus has been praying for Paul, and now Paul's here, and you'll take care of me. Now, I look at this little part right here. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. You've heard me say this before. Do you know what we are to people? We are the answer to their prayers. If somebody's praying for the truth, if somebody's praying for understanding, if somebody's praying for the mess they're in, to get out of this mess they're in, and they're actually praying, people do, when they're finally distraught, they finally break down, and they finally pray, and we go to their house, just being there, well, hi, how are you, da-da-da. We are the answer to their prayer. Just like Paul says, Philemon, Paul was the answer to Philemon's prayer. For I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. I'm the answer to your prayer, Philemon. I'm here. Anyway. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus Aristarchus, Aristarchus, Demas Lucas, my fellow laborers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Now, let's get into knowing what we just read here. How are we doing for time? Well, we're doing all right. We're talking here about Onesimus, who must have been kind of messed up, and he got a hold of Paul, and he got fixed up by Paul's teachings, and he went to Philemon, and he's going to be like having Paul there. Onesimus has to know Paul's stuff, and he has to be living Paul's stuff. Now, here we go. I was thinking of this last night for reasons I cannot say. But we know that what Paul preaches is a grace. This is a dispensation of grace. We have no problem with that. And we all know somebody who's living a life of a disaster, or we know they're living a life of deception. I'm going to lean more on the disaster people right now, because the people that are deceived have no clue, and it doesn't matter what we say to them, they don't want to hear it. They know what they've been taught. They don't care what the Bible says. They know that these signs and wonders they're seeing more and more of are proof that they know Jesus and all this kind of stuff. You're not going to get anywhere with these people. Unless they finally realize that a King James Bible needs to be rightly divided, then they can find Paul. But until they get this King James Bible as their final authority, rightly dividing that thing according to Paul's writings, not according to verse by verse by verse based on what school you've graduated from or your pastor has, you're not going to get it. So we're not going to get anywhere with these people either. What about those out there that are living the life of a disaster? I mean, their life is a disaster. I was afraid for a while. I've been through many, many disasters in my life, and there's always been something to come out of it at the last minute. That's fantastic. I can look down the road and see a disaster coming up, the aged Paulson. Can't keep teaching much longer, da-da-da-da. Maybe doesn't want to keep teaching, but something happens. Who knows, whatever. And go through that unemployment stage again. We know that this country is dropping on people all over the country. Companies are going to start dropping their employees because they can't afford the insurance. The insurance program that Obama has put out has more than just health insurance in it. It's got rules and regulations of living. I mean, it's got laws in there that have nothing to do with health. They can get you arrested because of home care, health care, whatever they call that thing. So we know that we're all just a bleep away from a disaster. So let's talk to these people now that their lives are a disaster, and you say to them, I just didn't have enough grace for you, or I'll give you grace. I love you because I'll give you grace. Now think about that. When you tell somebody you're giving them grace, you are telling them you're doing something wrong, but I'm going to give you grace. That is an underhanded slap. Now I understand in the past, I know my situation, maybe somebody else's, as a parent or whatever. Yes, we didn't have grace in those earlier years or last week or month ago or years ago. That's probably true. We didn't have the grace we should have. But if we tell somebody, oh, I'll give you grace, or I've got grace for you, not a problem. You are telling them that you have it together and they don't, so I will just give you grace. And you still kick them in the behind. Does that make, see what I'm saying? Yes, there's grace before truth, and I was just thinking last night. When we tell somebody, oh, we just didn't have enough grace during when you were younger, we are still telling them they did wrong. And shame on you. But we will have grace. No wonder they get mad. Here's how we have to handle this. This is me. This is how we have to handle this stuff with our friends and family who are living a disaster. Or, in some respects, even a deceived life. We understand. We should understand why they did what they did. We should understand why they are doing what they are doing. And if we tell them, oh, we understand, they're going to look at you and go, you have no clue. And we probably don't in their eyes. But see, we have an understanding that they don't understand. We understand more than they think. We don't know what it's like to be mucho in debt. We don't know what it's like to be maybe chased by somebody with a gun. We don't know what it's like to lose your family, to lose your kids, to lose all your, well, we lose our friends, but we don't know what it's like what these people are going through. But we understand what's going on. So because of our understanding, we have grace. But we don't dare tell them, well, I'll just give you grace. You can come over for dinner anyway. That's just baloney. Now, we understand. What do we understand? Well, we understand that only by pride cometh contention. We know that their problem is pride. We know that. Oh, excuse me. We know that our problems are because of pride. We know that. Okay? We know that Paul talks in Timothy about the fact that they oppose themselves. They are their own worst enemy. Well, see, that also tells us that we know we are our worst enemy. He says that in Timothy. If anybody new out there that listens to this later, he says that in Timothy when he says here, the servant of the Lord must not strive, 2 Timothy chapter 2, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. That's really hard. There's a lot of people it's easy to be gentle to, but there's somebody you want to, and I'm talking my own experience here, there is somebody there that I want to just, But he says, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, that they may recover themselves. We can't do it for them. They've got to do it themselves. And we know that their biggest enemy is themselves. So we understand this. We understand that if a person once was a Christian, or was a Paul, even go so far as a Paul person, a Paulite, not a Paulsonite, but a Paulite, we understand that some of these people are they've been bewitched. We are all under the potential of being bewitched. And I know enough situations out there that I know when people are being bewitched by their family, by their friends, by their boss, by the fact that you have to work even though you shouldn't. We are being bewitched by somebody somewhere. Somebody's trying to get us away from Paul. There's been a conspiracy against Paul since Acts 22. 21 or 20, I think it's 22. So we know that Chris, Patience, Sam, Stephen, Noelia, and all the little Christmas tree bulbs you get over the next couple of years, and Andrea and Daniel and Jeanette, we are all able to be bewitched. And we probably have been. Because we know that Romans 11:22 says when the people are done with Paul, they're done when they're done to the goodness of God, which is only preached by Paul, the Gentiles will be cut off. We know that we're getting closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. We know that. So we know that because of our grace and our understanding, and we know that it's not us that's in this, it's not us that's doing it, we tend to kind of back off, and we get tired of the war, we get tired of the battle, and sometimes we do our thing, and it probably shouldn't have been. We know all this. We're not getting better. We're getting weaker, just like the whole thing that's out there. And maybe that's not the case, too. You probably shouldn't have put it that way. Okay, so we know that we're being bewitched. We know that these people, that if they haven't truly been saved, the people this disaster life or deceived, that if they're truly saved, we still know that what they're doing is not them. It's the sin that's in them. Okay, so we understand that. We understand that if they aren't saved, that even when they do something good, it doesn't work because they still got that sin. They're still attached to their sin. So we know all this stuff. See, this is the understanding that we have of what's going on in these people's lives. We even understand what's going on in our lives because of these things. There's one more thing I want to say here. But let me say this first. Anything that's going on in the lives of people that say they're Christians, or maybe they were Christians, even if they're Paul people, whatever, and they're a legitimate Paul person, Paul follower, Paul partner, whatever happens to them in a bad way, it is not God's judgment because of they are sinning. I just so tired of hearing that. What kind of a God is that that's going to destroy your life because you just turned away from Him? Now, that's the severity of God. That was the Jews. We understand that because they had to follow the law. God had to establish this law. They couldn't do it. And so He comes down and walks the law, and they just need to put their faith in Him, and it's taken care of. God could not do anything any less. He could not erase it. He could not just check it off. He could not ignore it. Otherwise, He's not God. Okay, so here's the last thing I want to say with what's going on in the lives of many of these people. We know Paul's manner of life. We know we got to decide, we got to despise, we got to pray, we got the tears, we got the love, we've got the long suffering, we've got patience, we've got grace, we've got truth in there. We have rebuke, reprove, and from such turn away. We got that whole list of things that we should do concerning other people. But it finally comes to the point where we have to let them be delivered unto Satan. See, now we understand this. It doesn't mean you love them any less. It just breaks your heart to see what they're going through. If any of us go to this stage in our life, we just crash and go back to the world. This is what this is all about. Paul's last step is to let people, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he delivers these guys unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. 1 Timothy 1:20, he delivers them unto Satan so they learn not to blaspheme. So these people that are out there that once supposedly knew God or had a religion or whatever it is, and they've gone to the world and is crashing on them, then their flesh is being destroyed. Because that's what got them there in the first place. They're learning not to blaspheme. These people that I know of don't believe God. Why not? How could you not believe God? Because they were taught a religion that if you do right, God will bless you. That's the Great Commission, false message of the Great Commission. If you do the right thing, God will bless you. And if you don't, God will chastise you. So what's happening right now is God is just chastising you. God is judging your sin. And you have to... That is just hogwash. So if we tell these people that are going through this kind of a junky life, we say, well, we just have to have more grace for you. What does that mean to them? That means that they are living a rotten life and we aren't, and we're just having grace for you. We still slap them in the face. Now, how can somebody be turned over to Satan? How could Paul deliver somebody unto Satan, is what he says. Well, we know that Satan is the god of this world. So when you deliver somebody unto Satan, you're delivering somebody, you're letting them go to the world. Head out, go for it, go away, I'm not going to bug you anymore, go do your thing. And you know that their life is either going to be deceived, a bunch of false miracles and signs and wonders and deception, they'll be the happiest little person in the world because now they're happy. They put on the Facebook all these marvelous things. Oh, the God has done this for me and God has done that for me. And then 2 or 3 days, they say something really stupid and really angry towards God. How could God let this happen? Then a couple of days later, they're talking, oh, God's blessing. Oh, God had to chastise me and all this kind of stuff. What, don't you know about the judgment seat of Christ? Don't you know that your works are going to be judged later, not now? Don't you know this, Christians out there? You know, kind of a deal. But to be delivered unto Satan. Well, the two reasons Paul does it review here is for destruction of the flesh and to learn not to blaspheme. And that Satan is going to teach them that. This is not God hammering on the people. Now, 1 Timothy 5 talks about women who have turned aside after Satan. Now, how can that be? Well, let's look at it. 1 Timothy 5, 15, I think it is. I can't read my script. Boy, I sure write horrible. That's the aged Paulson here. 1 Timothy 5, 15. For some are already turned aside after Satan. You read verse 13 and 14. We see what they're doing. And 16. Mostly 13 and 14. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, not rule the house, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, which is what modesty is all about. And if you don't do that, you're turning aside after Satan. Or you're in such a predicament that you have been turned aside after Satan. That's what you're doing. I mean, that is a hard thing to say. And it's everywhere. And I know there's folks out on our website, the Pal Talk people. You've got health issues. Your husband has health issues. You got fathers. I mean, you got the whole ball of wax. But this is what's happening. You're being turned aside after Satan. So don't fall in love with it. Get out of it when you can, if you can. If you can't, you're turning aside after Satan. What if there's no guys? What if there's no husband? What if there's no families? What if there's no friends? What if you have to do it? You have to do what you have to do what you have to do. Praise God that we're in the dispensation of grace, but what's happening is you are turning aside after Satan or being turned aside. You're out there in the god of this world where you're not supposed to be. That's okay, now that's the way, that's where it's at. What about us men? What are we doing as men? We're not doing this stuff either. We have been so feminized and demand that we, you know. So I'm not picking on anybody. This is where we are. This is what's going on. When you reject Paul's stuff, Paul finally says, hey, go off to Satan. That's what he says. You're going to get your flesh destroyed, because life is going to just fall apart. And you're going to learn not to blaspheme. Maybe that's your issue. Maybe you mock God or something. You know, whatever. Okay? We get into 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Satan works under signs and miracles as we're getting closer and closer to the tribulation. So, delivered unto Satan. You're going to be delivered unto signs and wonders. And if you stay in your book or get back in your book, you're going to figure out that these things aren't real. And you're going to hate God. No, don't hate God. Get back to Paul. And you'll find out what's going on out there. When somebody says, do the right thing and God will bless you, and do the wrong thing, God will chastise you, that is a lie. And Satan, you know, is going to give you some blessings to show you that this false God that you've got is actually blessing you. He could go that route. Or he could make your life so miserable that your flesh is being destroyed. Why would he do that? To help out God? No, because that's what he does to people. You think Satan is being a nice guy to get people to follow along with him? He gives you the car, he gives you the money, he gives you all this stuff to help you get closer to God? No, he knows it'll take you further from God. He knows you get caught up in the world. He knows this. Demas did. Loved the world more than he did Paul's stuff. Paul. Okay? We know in 1 Thessalonians 2:18 that Satan hinders people. Satan hindered Paul. Satan will get out there and he will hinder us from teaching people the right thing. He will hinder these people from getting a hold of Paul. Well, how can he do that? He can sing them a song that says, people need the Lord. No, they don't. They need Paul. Paul will straighten them out. But they have to be the ones to do it. They have to get out of their mess. They have to get out of that cage. They have to step up to the plate and make it happen. through God's principles, through God's words, here's how you live your manner of life. Will you be blessed because of it? No, you'll be persecuted because of it. But you will be blessed in the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, two more things. 2 Corinthians 11:14, Satan's the angel of light. You're going to go out into this world as you turned unto Satan, delivered unto Satan, and you can see this angel of light and his ministers of righteousness. You get caught up in this religion. You know what you need to get out of that stuff? You need Paul. And lastly, ignorant of Satan's devices, 2 Corinthians 2:11, you get delivered unto Satan. If you're not ignorant of those devices, you're going to fall for it, and your life is going to either be deceivingly blessed or destructingly destroyed. Either way, it's not God. You need Paul to figure out what Satan's devices. Music, huge device. Only way to figure that out is to get to Paul and look at what's going on in music. Okay. That's it. We looked at Onesimus this morning, who turned to Paul, got his life fixed, got his life straightened out, and now he's as good as Paul to help these other people. And if somebody you know out there is a disaster in their life, you don't dare tell them, I'm just giving you grace, sweetie, because you can't do that, because that's still slapping them in the face and telling them, listen, you're living a wrong life, I'm living a right life, but I'll give you grace. What a prideful thing to slap on somebody. But you know what's going on in their life. You understand. You don't know what it's like to be $100,000 in debt. You don't know what it's like to be chased by a guy with a gun. You don't know what it's like, some people, to lose their husband, their wife. You don't know what it's like to be amongst the mess of all this stuff out there, the hassle. But you understand it. And we understand it because of Paul. These people will not understand what's going on until they get into Paul, and they will find out that it isn't God beating on them. And yes, God is real, and God is there for you, but it's got to be through a King James Bible rightly divided in Paul. And are they going to get a hold of that stuff? I don't know. You did. I did. Why can't they? Well, maybe they need to have that flesh destroyed. Maybe they need to learn not to blaspheme the hard way. But it is not God that's doing it. It's Satan. And they need Paul. Just like Onesimus needed Paul, so do they. Anyway. I think it went long. Let me turn off my...